Today we're going to be learning about the fifth king of Malchus Beis David, and his name was Asa. Again, Asa was the son of Abia, and he, the father, was only king for 3 years before he passed away, and his son Asa takes over. Asa is really very different than his father. Let's start with the fact that he's a king for over 35 years. Very long time. And also he inherited a much more peaceful land because his father had really destroyed the Malchus Yisrael, pretty much most of their army. Now basically Malchus Beis David was the dominant factor in Eretz Yisrael. And he also was a bigger Yirei Shamayim than his father. Like the Torah tells us, Vayas Asa HaToiv Vayosher Beinei Hashem Eleikov, that Asa followed and did what the Eibishter wanted in a much stronger way. One of the first things he did when he took over was, being that he was much more Yirei Shamayim, he tried to get rid of the Avodah Zarah. He took at least, like the Pasuk tells us, Vayosar es mizbechois hanecher v'abomois, Vayishabres ha-matzevois, Vayigades ha-asherim. He destroyed all the different types of Avodah Zarah that the Yidden at that time were serving. And he really, really tried. He had Yehuda and Binyamin to really inspire them to call out to the Eibishter and connect to Hashem. So all in all, for sure, at the beginning, Asa was following the path in Hashem. But then there was an event that took place that really, really brought it to the next level. Out of Mitzrayim, if you remember, in the time of Rechavam, there was a king of Mitzrayim, his name was Shishak. And Shishak Melech Mitzrayim, he came and he actually took away a lot of the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash and of Klal Yisrael. The Mefarshim say one of the things that he took was also the throne of Shlomo HaMelech, the famous throne that would, you know, move around. It was the very world-famous throne that was also taken by Mitzrayim. While, this is already a few years later, Mitzrayim itself was conquered. And it was conquered from a group that came from Kush, from Ethiopia. And the one that ran it, the one, the leader of this people from Kush, was a guy named Zerach. Now you have to understand the numbers. The Torah tells us, the Navi tells us, that Zerach from Kush had over 1 million soldiers. Literally over 1 million soldiers he had. It was a huge army. And Asa had under 500, a little bit about 500,000. He had two Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin, and they were very, very strong. But together, Yehuda had 300,000 and Binyamin had 280,000. We're talking about 580,000 soldiers. And they're going up against an army over 1 million soldiers. It's like 2 to 1. This is a huge army that just conquered Mitzrayim. And now they're moving up to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Asa, as we mentioned, had a Yesod of Yirat Shamayim. And Itaka believed in the Eibishter. So he actually did not call for help from any other kingdoms. And he makes the famous announcement. And he says like this, Vayikra Asa el Hashem. Asa calls out to the Eibishter. And he says, Einim cholazer ben rav le'en koyach. Numbers don't mean anything to you. Like, it's your ability, whether we have 2 to 1, 10 to 1, 1 to 1, it's not a charity campaign. You know, what the numbers don't matter to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to his ability. You can show the world that just because we are outnumbered 2 to 1, that you can still run it. So therefore, I'm putting myself with full bitachin in the Eibishter, and we're going to go fight. There became such a massacre of the Kushim, they Poshe ran away, and the Pasuk says, Vayipel mikushim le'ein lahem michya. They Poshet fell, they had no food, they had nothing. They were running like scattered soldiers. They Poshet, they ran them out of town, destroyed the entire army of Kush. And of course, a lot of treasures and a lot of money came back to Malchus Yehuda, including this treasure that was looted from Mitzrayim, which was originally looted from Bnei Yisrael. This is all coming back. This war made a tremendous impression, not just amongst the Goyim, but believe it or not, it also inspired the Yidden. Now, sometimes it's harder to inspire the Yidden. And what happened was, a lot of people from Menashe, Ephraim, other Shvatim of the Aseres HaShvatim, started coming back to Malchus Beis David. They were already mingling in Yerushalayim. They realized that the Shekhinah is with this King Asa, and they already started, you know, coming back a little bit to Malchus Beis David. Now, the Navi at that time was a Navi named Azaryahu ben Oided. He was the Navi at that time. And you can imagine, Yidden are inspired now. They just had a big victory, and they have a lot of money. And they rebuilt the fortresses that were knocked down from Mitzrayim. So now Yidden are safe. They're in a strong leadership position. And the Navi comes, and the Navi tells him like this: Shma'uni Asa v'chol Yehuda u'binyamin. Listen to me, Asa, and all Yehuda u'binyamin. Hashem imachem. Obviously, it is clear to you and to the world that the Eibishter is with you. And now it's time to do something. What does he want from him? Listen to his words. V'yomim rabim liYisrael. It's been a long time. L'loye l'KMS, that Klal Yisrael doesn't serve the Eibishter, the true Eibishter. L'loye koyin meira l'loye toira. Basically, there's a lack of leadership, there's a lack of direction, there's a lack of serving the Eibishter. There's a huge vacuum. And he wants Asa, who already took a stand against Avodah Zarah, to go all out and to really, really take it once and for all to destroy the Avodah Zarah. He's going all out. And he tells them that you're going to be scared, maybe, you know, it's intimidating and a little bit hard to go out. And he says the famous pasuk, V'atem chisku v'alyirpu yedeichem, be strong and don't let your hands be weak. And the famous words, ki yesh sochar l'pula seichem. There is a reward. You got the koyach, yesh sochar l'pula seichem, you'll be able to do it. And sure enough, Asa goes out, Poshet, and he eradicates the Shikutzim, he called Eretz Yehudu Binyamin, and now that he conquered more cities, he Poshet, anything that was under his control becomes Avodah Zarah free, and he sets up the Beis HaMikdash properly, and everything is going according to the Eibishter's plan. At least in his area, things are going strong, and again, a lot of Yidden are already coming to him because they see that the Eibishter is with him. And he actually makes a big Suda in the 15th year of his leadership. They make a big Suda honoring the destruction of the Avodah Zarah and the dedication to the Eibishter. It's a very, very spiritually high time in the time of Asa. And things go that way for the next 20 years. Till 35 years into his Melucha, it's peaceful, Malchus Beis David is strong, and everything is going well. Good things don't last forever. There was a king at that time, Malchus Yisrael still had a king, and his name was Basha. We're not going to get into how Basha, with Yeravam, but this Basha actually made a treaty with a Goyish king, and from Melech Aram, Hadar Melech Aram, and he started creating for himself his own fortresses. He was starting to build up the Malchus Yisroel. Asa was not happy with this. So what he did was, he gave money to the Goy, this other king, to break the treaty. And pretty much they attack the other group, the other Shvatim. And Basha has to run away from his fortresses. And they put down this potential rebellion. But the Eibishter was not happy. And he sends another Navi at that time. And this Navi's name was Hanani. And Hanani tells Asa, you know, you did your war, but it was very not befitting you to ask a Goy for help. Here you saw, when it came to this king of Cush, the Eibishter wiped them out. Why are you bringing the Goyim into the Jewish problems? B'chlal, all the problems start with Yidden. Even when there's a machlokes between Yidden, when a Yid brings in a Goy, that's when it really goes bad. Check history. Same thing is true with the Svarim. They end up burning Yiddish Svarim. When you bring the Goyim into the Jewish politics, things go wrong. So he said, why did you bring the Goy? Why did you bring the Goy? So Asa, like many people, they don't like to hear criticism too much. When you're a king, and the Navi tells you you did something wrong, and he felt that he was a little bit right, and whatever. So he ends up putting this Navi in prison. And the Eibishter gets very upset by this. I gave you a message, and you took it out on the messenger. And he gave him a big disease in his feet. Now the Gemara tells us that there were certain people that were given pashit, privileged body things, like Avshalom, he had beautiful hair. Other people had a beautiful neck, whatever, different things, right? So, and that they all ended up falling and getting punished with the beautiful thing that they had. Avshalom ends up hanging from his hair. Asa was given beautiful feet. Well, I'm not exactly sure what exactly was beautiful about his feet, but he had spectacular, angelic feet. That's what the Gemara says. His feet were like Adam HaRishon, beautiful feet. And this way he got punished with this gout, big problem with his feet. And he basically dies a sick man. You know, after living all these years as a king, he dies a sick man. But altogether, history judges Asa pretty well. And he has a son. And his son's name was Yehoshaphat, and he will be the sixth king of Malchus Beis David.